Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Jody E., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, March 18th, 2024. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 9, the sixth full paragraph. Today's readers are Wendy B. on the 12 steps. Alex K. will be reading the 12 traditions, Becca R., Lisa, and Sherry M. The reference numbers for yesterday's special edition, Sunday, March 17th, is 21,231. That's 21231. And the share ID for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,232. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Wendy B. to read the 12 steps of OA. Thank you, Wendy.
Good morning. Wendy M. in Boulder, Colorado. Recovered, grateful, and thank you, Jody. 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so, to injure them or others. And continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Wendy B. And I will now ask Alex K. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Thank you, Jody. Alex K. in California, compulsive eater, recovered just for today. 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. or each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. 6. An OA group will never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, as problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, defying the outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you. Grateful for this service.
Thank you, Alex K. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone may share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 9, paragraph 6. I will ask Becca R. to begin reading.
Hi, this is Becca R., recovered compulsive overeater, calling in from Kentucky. Can you just verify, are we at, but he did no ranting?
Yes, that's correct, Becca.
Thanks. But he did no ranting. In a matter-of-fact way, he told how two men had appeared in court, persuading the judge to suspend his commitment. They had told of a simple religious idea and a practical program of action. That was 2 months ago, and the result was self-evident. It worked. Yes, and I just want to open the sharing today on this paragraph. The miracle that when they carried the message to me, that they're not the same person that they were before recovery. And I mean, that exclamation mark at the end, it worked. It worked. I just remember being shared a message of hope, specifically from my Eddie, who went on to become my first sponsor, but also from the many outreach calls I made and received, shouting the good news, like, you don't have to do anything new. You don't have to invest in another program. You don't have to join another gym. You don't have to buy more diet food. I really felt so hopeful. And in today's world where money can buy everything, this is just so simple that we are able to transmit, that I am able to transmit that same hope that can't be bought by a millionaire or a gazillionaire, yet it is the gift of experience. And Yeah, so I think that's all I have to share this morning. I'm excited to see what everyone else has to say. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Becca R., for getting us started. Okay. Although we value everyone's experience so much, we ask that you do limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share? We're on page 9, the 6th paragraph, beginning with, but he did no ranting.
Wendy B.
Sherry
Wendy
F. B. Wendy M.
Sherry, Wendy M. So I have Wendy B., Sherry F., and Wendy M. Let's go ahead and get started with that group. Go ahead, Wendy B.
Good morning. This is Wendy
ahead,
B., recovered in Arizona. And I love this paragraph. You know, he wasn't self-righteous or preaching, you know, with frothy emotional peel. You know, he did no ranting. And, you know, he was calm. And there was no pressure or trying to persuade. And so, you know, when I share my story, I have to take the approach that I don't know what's best for others. You know, I'm just sharing what works for me and offering them a choice, you know, a way out of their misery if they want it. And, you know, he just told his story, his experience, and others are either attracted to it or they aren't. You know, the results are in God's hands. And, It says the result was self-evident, and that means I need to look and act recovered. You know, my actions need to match my words. I need to appear and act different. You know, I need to be changed in my motives and my thinking, and I need to surrender every day to God and His transforming work within me. And this is not about, you know, just doing good works, you know, that I can manifest in my own willpower, you know, my self-will. This is God working through me and drawing others, you know, to want what I have. And thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Wendy B. from Arizona. Please go ahead, Sherry F.
Thank you so much. This is Sherry M., gratefully recovered in Wyoming, compulsive overeater. The word that is standing out to me is ranting, which means a long, angry, and impassioned speech, speaking at length in an angry way. So this is very helpful and a reminder. How am I spreading a message? How am I conducting myself? Am I, you know, getting involved with outside contentious issues and sharing that in meetings? You know, what am I sharing? Am I angry at somebody because they're not getting it? Or am I not talking very long, but I'm actually letting my actions do the talking, not my words? So this is a program of love and tolerance and patience and he's talking about, it's so simple, right? I make it very complicated, but it was this simple idea, this religious idea. And you can take out the word religion and put, you know, spiritual. It's an idea that I'm going to be living in a different way than I've currently been living, which is going to be one of honesty. I'm going to be a trustworthy person. My actions are going to match my words, and I'm going to try to be useful and helpful to others. And this action program, that word action, this entire program is action. And if I stop doing action, somebody once gave me the visual that you start, basically action keeps you going one step in front of the other, or walking up the next step or doing the next step. And when I stay idle, and if I'm on a hill, right, because the disease is progressing, then I could start rolling backwards down the hill without action, right? Just staying in neutral is going to make me go backwards. So I'm so grateful that the people who have spread the message to me have done it in a very loving way, and nobody lectured me with anger in their tone. They said, come join us on this broad road of happy destiny, where we will love you until you can love yourself. We have a deadly disease, and together we get better. Thank you so much. I pass.
Thank you so much, Sherry F. from Wyoming. Wendy M., please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. This is Wendy M., recovered in Boulder, Colorado. Thank you, Jody, for your service and everybody's shares. Yeah, the first word definitely is ranting. I love that word because it describes the strategy that I've been using my whole life. It's definitely one of my defects of character. If I say it louder, if I say it faster, if I say it with venom, then I'll get the point across and I'll pretty much get whatever it is I want, which is to convert somebody to my program. That's what I was like. I thought I had to rant. And it's so interesting when you're with a person and they're not ranting about something, their voice gets quiet and calm, and matter of fact. I tend to lean in. I tend to lean towards because I'm really interested and the fact that this person is calm, matter of fact, it's not, there's no convincing here, and I don't have to convince. And that's a huge relief. And I don't even have to rant, whether it's I'm talking to a newcomer or anybody in my life, right? Like, because I guess the way I say it is my program is self-evident, right? And God makes that so, not me. God makes that possible. And I love that when I'm working with a potential sponsee, newcomer, and I'll kind of start getting convincing, like, oh, but, and then I do this. And then I tell them, this is why I have 10 requirements a day. You know, I better explain it to them. And then I think to myself, I don't have to do that at all. I can just have my program. And I can say things like, here's what works for me. And then I'm off the hook. It's a relief. There's no convincing here. And the fact that this program, it says it works, that's sort of the beginning and the end. That's the punchline. Because why would I get up every morning to do this work and to get on my knees 30 minutes and all of it? Why would any of us do it? Because it works. That's why we do it. We don't do it because somebody called me the night before and said, you really should get on the vision line. No, I do it because it works. I'm hungry to do all of my requirements. I love that I get to do all of my requirements, but I don't have to convince another person to do that. And not everybody wants to do what I do, but I do it because I want what my sponsor has, right? And it works sort of kind of the bottom line here. And like the more I write, the more I weigh and measure, the more I weigh and measure, the more I share in a line, the more I share in a line. It works, and then it begets more working. And thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Wendy M. from Colorado. Deb G., go ahead, please. Deborah G. from Arizona. Oh, sorry. Good morning. Good morning. Thank you so much for your service this morning and leading us and everyone's service, making this meeting possible. I'm so grateful. I love this meeting. And I continue to be reminded. I need reminders. And welcome to all the newcomers. I'm so glad that you're here and all the shares that have shared 12-stepping me. I just learned recently the definition of ranting. Somebody shared it on a meeting, and I looked it up, and I thought, oh, wow, I do that. You know, and, you know, sometimes I've got emotions going on that I don't realize when I'm talking to somebody. It can be really emotionally charged, and sometimes I'm angry or frustrated about something. And my words and my tone, my energy comes across with that. And so now I'm becoming more aware and I'm focusing on the words of humility and real and helpful, kind, and really looking at bringing, before I talk, you know, asking God to come in and be my words. You know, help me with this. Help me how to speak with this person. You know, before I even sometimes talk with him on the phone. Also, I don't want to be a preacher, you know, I want, or a teacher. I wanted to share my experience, strength, and hope with them. And because that alone is a beautiful experience, and not suffering anymore, you know. So being, coming across, you know, a gentle, kind way. That's how my soul is, gentle and kind and loving. And compassion, bringing that compassion in. And I love that with that reading, there is a solution, that there's help there in that paragraph. You know, oh, gives you hope. So anyway, that's all I have. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Deborah G. from Arizona. Who else would like to share? We are on page 9, the 6th full paragraph, which begins with, "But he did no ranting." And although
Nancy,
we value experience,
sorry,
we ask that you sharing, that's okay, to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. Was that Nancy?
Yeah, Nancy J. Sorry to step on you.
That's okay, Nancy J. Who else?
Larry G.
The N? Larry G. And came in after Larry?
Lisa N.
Lisa N.
Donna B.
Donna B. Okay, great. Nancy J., Larry G., Lisa N., and Donna B. Please go ahead, Nancy. Press star 1 to unmute, Nancy.
Hi, thank you. Sorry about that again. I was just so excited to share on this, and then I'm muted. Yeah, you know, what stands out to me is this miracle. You know, Bill was thinking Ebby was thinking he was, you know, being put away, asylum, jail time, or both, you know, and this miracle of his two people coming in and pleading his case for him. And the judge suspending his sentence or commitment, you know, it's just such a reminder of the miracles in this program, you know, and just my life is such a miracle. And life is still hard. Life is hard, but you know, as long as I plug in every morning to this power of my higher power, whether I want to or not, whether I feel like it or not, whether I'm in the mood or in a rush, I do it anyway. And my higher power carries me because it's too much for me to walk on my own. I can't walk. He carries me. He does it for me. You know, and it is such a miracle. I'm super grateful. And if I just stay out of my own way and not try to control my circumstances, and that's what I got a message this morning, was just take the control out of it. You know, I'm a loving person. I want to be helpful. But let me just take the control piece out and let my higher power just do the rest. And if I can keep my mouth shut, whew, miracles happen. Miracles happen. So, anyway, that's all I got. I'm Nancy J in California. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you, Nancy J. in California. Larry G., please go ahead.
Good morning. Larry G. from California, recovered compulsive eater. The word that may be confusing to a lot of new people on this call, or if you've just been with us a short time, is Bill used the word religion. And maybe you've been around for a while and you have started with a doctor's opinion and maybe working with a sponsor, and you've heard that OA or 12-step programs are self-help groups, and we don't endorse any particular religion. And all of a sudden, Bill is using this word. And we do respect all religions. In fact, our traditions, maybe you haven't heard of the traditions, but one in particular, Tradition 6, talks about we don't endorse any particular religion. I mean, we might have Jews, Christians, Catholics, Hindus, Buddhists, Muslims on this call. Everyone's welcome. So why does Bill use the religion? Well, I'm not an AA historian, by the way. There's people in this group who are really have studied AA, but my understanding is that where did Eddie come from? Eddie was 12-step by Roland Hazard, and Roland Hazard got the spiritual solution from Dr. Jung, and Eddie was part of what was called the Oxford Group, which was a religious group. When the story was written, the big book had not, the story of Bill was, the big book had not been written, and so it all changed when the big book was written. Now, when I came into the fellowship, the 12-step fellowship, if they had religious icons on the wall, or they had people at the door with their particular mission that they were trying to convert me into a particular religion, I would have disappeared like an OEX option, like a stock option. I would have been gone. And I'm sure a lot of people on this call feel the same way. What I love about 12-step is that we don't endorse any religion. We don't endorse anything, matter of fact. And all people are welcome. All religions are welcome. And all religions, all people who practice religion bring depth and weight to our 12-step group. And today I respect those. I'm no longer intolerant of those religions. And in fact, the religion of my childhood, I've actually gone back and started practicing some of the lessons and principles of that religion. And I'm just so grateful that we have this mindset that Bill wrote this book and changed it from being religious terms to spiritual terms. And I'm not going to go into that because that's another discussion. But those of you who are new in the program, be rest assured that no one is going to try to convert you to their particular religion. And if they do, put your tennis shoes on and run and find someone else to work with. My name is Larry, and I am a recovered compulsive eater. Thank you.
Thank you, Larry. Lisa M., please go ahead.
Thank you, Jody, for your service this morning, and thank you, everybody, for your wonderful shares. I'm Lisa N. from Wisconsin, and I'm recovering one day at a time with God, by God's grace and mercy. So I can't do this alone, and I don't want to until I think I can. And sometimes I wake up in the morning and I've got a plan for my day. I'm going out of town tomorrow. I like to rock and roll, so I'm going to do this, 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 and this. And I can be a little bit that way with you and tell you what you need to do. And actually what you need to see in me or hear in me is peace, recovery, possibly a new direction or a new way to go, hope, hear my experience, and then listen to what your higher power tells you about that conversation we have. So it's not so much about what I have to impart, but what you get, what you feel from me, what you feel. You know, do you feel hope and peace from what I say to you, or do you feel on edge and like, oh my God, I better do this, I better do what she says? Because I used to be like that, and I really need that reminder often
not to be so amped up, because it's not about being amped up and getting somebody inspired to do it. It's letting God in to speak to people so that they want what you have. And that's all I've got. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Lisa N. from Wisconsin. Donna B., please go ahead.
Good morning. This is Donna B. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, binge purge bulimic, exercise bulimic, calling from Denver, Colorado. That sentence, it worked. And I feel that others have also kind of communicated about this or tried to put words to it, which is that there's a way of communicating, not necessarily that it, not only that it worked for me, but also that it can work for you. And sometimes delivering the message that it can work for you is a much more nuanced message than it worked for me. Because I have a lot of practices in my life, in my program of recovery, that have developed over time and that work for me. But they're not necessarily practices that are appealing or attractive, especially to a newcomer at the beginning of his or her program of recovery. So for example, I really very, 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 very rarely eat at restaurants. When I travel for work and I'm staying in a hotel that does not have a kitchen, I pack all my meals at home. I freeze them in individual Ziploc bags, and I take every single meal that I'm going to eat on the duration of the trip with me on the plane. It sort of defrosts as I travel, and then when I get there, I stick it in the refrigerator. And then while on the business trip, I eat my meals out of these little baggies. And that is a practice that has developed over time and over experience. And it gives me a great deal of freedom and comfort and reassurance. And I can go about my business without worrying about the food. But if I were to tell a newcomer who's never had any experience with recovery from the disease of compulsive overeating, it works. One day you too will pack your food in little plastic bags and take those plastic bags across the United States. I don't know that it delivers the message that it will work for you. It just delivers the message that it works for me because I'm willing to do all this crazy shit. And my time is coming to its end, so I will stop there. Thank you.
Thank you, Donna B. from Colorado. And we still have time. Who else would like to share? We are on page 9. The last paragraph, the last full paragraph on the page, which we begins with, "But he did no ranting."
Robin P. in Costa Rica.
Robin P. I'll take a share. Jody E. Who else?
Simone L.
Okay.
In California.
Simone L. All right, we'll go with that group. Please go ahead, Robin.
Thanks so much for your service. Hi, I am Robin P. and I'm very grateful. Recovered compulsive overeater in Costa Rica. And I'm just so grateful because it's such a practical program. And just like it says, and you know, and I had a spiritual awakening of the profound variety. And I'm just so grateful. You know, it's a simple program for complicated people, as it said. And it worked, and it still worked 8 years later by God's grace. And we're about to go to Europe for a couple of months again. we travel quite a bit, and I'm so grateful. I'm a gluten-free vegan, and I eat organically, and I always find whatever I need. I do participate in my own recovery and go to stores and get what I need, and I'm just so grateful that God takes such good care of me every single day, one day at a time. You know, I'm also so grateful that I get to practice these principles in all my affairs and do 10 steps and I have a God squad. And it's just this program literally reprograms my brain. And it's really simple. And I just get to do the steps and live in recovery, be of service to God and my fellows, see where I can be of service throughout my day. That's such a blessing. My favorite moments in the day are the days that I'm a blessing. I know that, you know, God gave this program to all of us. And if you're new and you're struggling, just keep on keeping on. You know, I always just say to somebody, are you willing to go to any lengths to recover? And if they say no, I say, just pray to hit bottom. And then you can get on with it. And thank you, God. And I'm so grateful that you can go anywhere and do anything with this program, one day at a time. And I get to meet people everywhere we've traveled. We've traveled throughout the U.S. We've traveled throughout Europe. And I meet people in the program wherever I go. And that's such a blessing. So we'll be doing that again in Europe. So God bless everybody. It was a really blessed abstinent day in the past.
Thank you, Robin T. from Costa Rica. And I'll share. My name is Jody E., and I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater and a binge restrictor from California. And so grateful today. And this paragraph, yes, the word ranting. You know, when somebody rants, whether it's about anything, whether it's political or spiritual or recovery related, it's not appealing, is it? It's actually a turnoff. It's not attractive. And I need to remember that when I am trying to carry the message. There's no need to rant. On the contrary, all I need to do is share my true, honest experience, strength, and hope. Terrifactly, this is what it was like, this is what happened, and this is what it's like now. And I really appreciate what was said about not all newcomers are going to want what I have. They don't want to be as cleanly abstinent, perhaps, as I am today. But if they do want it, then I can share what has worked for me. I also appreciate what was said about this idea, this word religious. A simple religious idea. We can easily replace religious with spiritual because, as was said, we can have any religion or none. We do not have to be religious to work the 12 steps. We don't have to belong to any religion. That is said throughout this book. It's our own conception of a higher power. And we gradually come to believe in this higher power of some kind, of our own conception, gradually over time, perhaps. And perhaps we won't. Perhaps we'll remain atheists. There are some of us who are, and yet the 12 steps work for us. We have a practical program of action that works. So, again, no need to aspire or adhere to any religious teachings. The 12 steps are the solution. And they are a practical program of action. I pass. Simone L., please go ahead.
Hi, I'm Simone L., compulsive overeater from California, taking it one day at a time. And what stood out to me from this particular passage is, you know, starting off with, and he did no ranting. You know, I've reflected on the fact that I had my own religious background. And the way I was raised in that religious background is that, you know, at every turn, there is an opportunity for you to be condemned. Right? You do this, you're condemned. You do that, you're condemned. You can step out on the street and you'll be hit by a car and you're condemned. Right? And so that is a stark just example to me of the ranting that can go on, not in just religion, but in the shoulds of all the things that we should do. And it never inspired me to, that's not something that's appealing or something to glom onto. And so the experience of coming to OA and really having not only just my sponsor, but different people who have reached out to me talk about, you know, this is what it's done in my life, this is what I do. It's just such a loving message and so accessible in that way. And really just being met with reminders for having grace for yourself and really deepening your, as a part of this practice, your relationship with your higher power. However you come to know if that's something that's been really positive and inspiring. So I just am grateful for that and grateful for a deepened relationship of my understanding with my higher power. So thank you all for your share. And with that, I'm done.
Thank you, Simone L. From, I didn't get where you were from, Simone. Sorry about that. We have time for one or two more shares.
California.
California. Thank you, Simone. Who else would like to share on this paragraph, page 9? Last full paragraph, but he did no ranting.
Liz A., California.
Ruth A. And one more. Okay, go ahead, Ruth. Press star one, Ruth. Ruth, press star one to unmute, please.
Hey.
Now I hear you. Go ahead, Ruth.
Sorry, I'm pretty sure her name is Liz, but she's still muted.
Oh, Liz. Liz, if it's Liz, I don't hear you. Well, perhaps
there's a Liz A, but I think I was the last one on the list.
Are you Liz?
I am.
Okay, well, go ahead, Liz.
Okay. What stands out for me, and first of all, I want to say thank you for everyone who's doing service. My name is Liz, and I am a recovered, for today, compulsive overeater. The shares basically covered everything. The only thing that for me is different, or at least that I can think of, is that, you know, Bill has gone through hospitalization. He's hit his bottom. He's totally hopeless and he's given up. And, you know, the doctor told him in the hospital that he has this disease, which is, you know, mental and physical. And he knows that piece of it, but that still didn't help him because self-knowledge didn't avail him for anything. And here, Eddie's telling him the other piece. the quote-unquote religious or to us spiritual angle, okay? And that he now has both pieces. He puts them together and he has the solution. And it had worked. You know, Abby, I believe, eventually went out. Maybe he didn't have the first piece, you know, and maybe religion itself wasn't enough. It was spirituality, which is what works. So yeah, the two parts of the puzzle that fit together are the answer, and they do work. And it's worked for me, and it's worked for so many of you, and there is hope. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Liz A. We have time for a two-minute share. Would someone like to take 2 minutes?
Elizabeth R.
Elizabeth R. Please go ahead, Elizabeth.
Hi, thank you, moderator, for the service. This is Elizabeth R., recovered compulsive overeater from Houston, Texas. I had to look up the definition of ranting, and my interpretation was like super excited, loud. And I like how he said that. They didn't come at him like, well, you don't believe this. This is what happened, and blah, blah, blah. This is what you need to do, and yada, yada. Just in a very calm way, I imagine, you know, this is what happened, and this is what my life is like now, and this is, you know, just sharing experience, strength, and hope in a very humble, calm way, I feel like. And I think that it said religious idea, because at that time, I think it was based on the Oxford Group, which was a religious organization. But, you know, if I just, I try not to think, I don't have to think so much a religious idea, just something bigger than myself. You know, like they told of a simple idea of believing that something is bigger than me that can help me solve this problem. And a practical program of action, because the program is so much about action, not how I'm feeling, not what I'm thinking. It's what action am I taking today? Like, take the feelings and thoughts out of it, which for me, as a compulsive overeater, my brain will tell me all kinds of crazy stuff, right? My brain will tell me it's okay to go back to the food when all this evidence shows it's going to take me to my death. So it's the action. And sharing that it worked for them, and hey, this is what we did, you know. And then hearing that in their voices, hearing some hope, you know, and that's what worked for me, is someone sharing their hope with me, not ranting and raving about it or jumping off the rooftops, just like, hey, this is where I came from, and this is where I'm at now, and this is what's working. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you very, very much, Elizabeth R. from Texas. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Lisa N. please begin reading for you? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Thank you. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.